I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
That's what she said. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromney. He's Ski at TSB Ski. We got handles. Tweet at him if you want to. I don't know why you would, but do it
or
anyways.
Not.
Our movie this week for Sunday's podcast, it's the spooky month. And it's King's movie, so King chose The Bye Bye Man, which is on Netflix. That's the real title of a movie, The Bye Bye Man. So watch it and listen on Sunday. It'll be fun, I promise. By the way, I have been experimenting and thinking about looking into us doing this in a live format of some kind. I have a Twitch. And if you want to follow the Twitch, you could possibly be in on the ground floor of us trying that and messing up many, many times and it being a complete mess. But you could be there for it and you could give us bits. I think those are a thing on Twitch. You give us bits. And I don't know what that is. But
no
my
idea what that is.
My Twitch is ABROG87. So ABROG87.
Wait, is that our bits like Twitch currency?
I believe so.
Is that what they are?
I believe it's something okay. like
some
that.
Some torrency?
Yeah.
Some torrency?
And if people like subscribe and you have like ads play over your thing sometimes, then you actually get real currency for it. Apparently that's a thing. I don't know. I'm looking into
it. We run our own ads. I know
look,
that.
Look, any way we can monetize the 14 people who listen to this podcast, I mean, I'm into it. Let's make that happen any way we can. I think we're probably going to end up losing money just because of what we'd have to spend to be able to make it happen. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Twitch is one of those things that really brings me back to early pandemic.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll watch this loser who's making $17 million a year play Mario Kart. And this is boring. And I'm like, boy, this is boring. Why is this guy making $17 million a year? He just goes, oh, here we go.
By the way, will you do that?
This racist shit.
By the way, will you do that if we do the Twitch thing? Because apparently that's how you make money. So please do that.
So you go to Wario, like, wah, the deeper.
I could do Yoshi. Get a Yoshi.
Ooh.
There you go. Hey, pretty good, right? Hey, we got all the Mario sounds.
Get at
that Twitch. Get at that Twitch, people. ABROG87, do it.
Who's got the Bowser impression down?
Does Bowser say anything? Does he make a noise even? I think it's more
in
like
that movie. In the movie that's coming out, he sure does.
It's like a grunt. Is it Jack? Is it Jack Black who does Bowser in the movie?
It most certainly is.
I'm into that.
Really? I thought it would be like Jeremy Irons.
No, it's like Jack Black. And it's pretty good. You guys haven't seen the trailer? You guys
Bowser? I did. I don't.
I have. Yeah.
I don't remember the Bowser voice for it, though.
The penguins are throwing like ice balls at Bowser. Yeah. And they're like, will you succumb? And he's like, no.
I like
I don't think I will. And then they pan out. And
he plays an acoustic guitar and starts jumping around. That's how
this
works,
is right? Not the greatest castle in the world. No.
He just starts singing Let's Get It On. What by the way, Ski, like a deep brooding British accent for Bowser, that's what you're wanting?
Yes.
Jeremy Irons.
That's exactly how I picture Bowser.
I'm going to get you, Mario. Yeah.
By the way, if it was British, he has to say oi.
Toad. I killed him, didn't I?
Didn't I? Or it should be like him or like Ian McShane.
Ooh, calls him a cocksucker over and over again.
Yeah. And look at this Mario over here, the fucking cocksucker.
Fucking cocksucker.
Every third word. Jesus, that shit. Deadwood was so liberal with that word.
Deadwood McShane, too. Yeah.
Wow. okay. So, Oregon did not participate in last weekend's college football weekend. But it was one of the best weekends of college football I can remember. Like, and it really was only like two I mean, there were close games, like high scoring, fun games to watch. But the two games like that really stood out were obviously Alabama and Tennessee during the day. And then you had the USC and Utah game at night. Just amazing football games. Like I don't usually do this. I don't usually watch college football games like other than Oregon. Like, you know, I'll check in.
Michigan. I thought you watched Michigan at 9 o'clock every morning.
I was about to say, I watch Michigan for like a quarter or two. Uh-huh. That's the most I'll watch another game. I watched the entire Alabama-Tennessee game, and I watched the entire USC-Utah game. That's the most college football I've watched in a day in like a long time, and they were so good. By the way, King with a Rocky Top. Is their mascot actually named Rocky? Is the dog named Rocky? It better be. Okay.
Well, it's Smokey, actually.
Smokey?
Smokey.
Wait, is that playing the fight song? Do you need to, like, pull the string again? Okay, so it's a stuffed animal that plays the fight song that we can't hear. But, dude, if Alabama's going to lose a game, like, let's make it like that every single time if we could.
Absolutely.
Where the goalposts are torn down and carried through the streets of a city. That's what I want every single time. Was it like 98 or something the last time Tennessee beat them or something like that?
It's been crazy. 15 straight games, yes.
Unbelievable, yeah.
That was a weird game for Bama, though, because they come back and take the lead. Usually those Saban teams, you know, they might be down for a half or maybe even in the third. But once they take that lead, usually they put that shit away. Not this game, though.
You got a wide receiver who has 5 touchdown catches against you. That's a pretty good indicator. You probably should lose a football game.
Like I said last week, Tennessee's starting quarterback was legally able to drink as a second-year starter at Virginia Tech before COVID-19 was a thing.
Must be nice having a grown-up as your starting quarterback. A guy who has like a mortgage and 2.5 kids. Yeah. You guys watch either of those games?
Oh, yeah. The Tennessee, Alabama, and Utah SC, they were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
And Utah USC, of course, you know, so I'm sort of watching that game and openly talking shit about Utah because Utah looked horrible for like most of the first half. Utah was really bad. And then they started to not be bad. And Cam Rising, who I was openly talking shit about because he's terrible.
Which is fine. That's allowable.
Yeah, number one quarterback in the Pac-12.
PFF.
He threw for over 400 yards. I stand by my comments. It's okay. All of a sudden, you know what he did? He started throwing to a tall, athletic, white tight end, which apparently is the way you score points and beat USC.
Dalton Kincaid, baby.
Dalton Kincaid, what is 16 catches or something?
Did you guys see the story that came out after that?
No, what happened?
So apparently it was something that came out in like July, but it was regurgitated after the game. Apparently Alabama offered Dalton Kincaid $1 million to come because he was stuck behind Brant Keithy or whatever, who got injured. Yes, as a transfer. And he just decided no.
Now wait a minute. I know the transfer portal is different nowadays. I don't think that's allowed.
It's not, but it is. They say you can't do inducements, but trust me, they do inducements.
Man, why would anybody? I mean,
you could probably do like a little like wink, wink. You come here, you might get. Oh, I don't know. We'll just say $1 million. That's the lowest number we'll say. Because I thought there was strict rules on once a player actually signs his transfer, then you could deal with the NIL shit. But he couldn't openly say, hey, we'll give you X amount of dollars to come here.
It's like it should be the other way around, right? Like if Alabama wants you to transfer there, you just say yes. And then Utah offers you $1 million to stay. Oh. Like that's what's supposed to happen, right? I'm very confused by that whole scenario.
I know we're yeah. Wild Wild West with the NIL shit right
Wild
now.
Wild Wild West.
Shit will change. I would say within the next 5 years, they will come out with at least some sort of rules. But
you
right now,
you can't
right now they
offer players money yes, to come to your.
Right
school.
Now, there is no rules.
Yeah,
yeah. This is California Gold Rush. It's like, hey, this is my steak right here.
You know what?
I bought it from some tramp.
Can we just keep it like this?
I mean,
like, I don't care. I don't care. Like, honestly, I don't. Like, if because players are going to transfer anyways, and if we're talking about somebody who's been there for like 3 years and they're an elite player and they want to actually get more exposure, and you have an opportunity to give them more exposure, like, what's the difference between that and a high school kid?
The high school kid is what will catch schools in the end.
It's like it's
you
like
give
yes,
a kid.
Well, just because they're like they're minors, so that
well,
might
they're also issue, but they're also completely unknowns. At least with a transfer, you have film of them
film,
playing college
yeah,
football.
FBS
that's
football.
That's an
yeah.
educate that's an educated offer.
Yes,
you know, like high school kids doesn't make sense. Like offering a high school kid $1 million is stupid. How many five star quarterbacks do we see every single year who just don't pan out?
Like exactly the first one that gets a $10 million NIL. And is a complete bust and maybe doesn't even play, I think they will self-correct themselves, these schools.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. But I think you're right with you see a tight end at some other school that has good film on him. He's worth $1 million NIL.
Like Addison going from Pitt to yeah. USC. That's a perfect scenario. You have the Biletnikoff winner. You want to actually get some exposure and not be a horrible-ass Pitt. Come to USC. We'll give you $2 million.
I do love how you say that, as Pitt played in the Peach Bowl last year and USC was 4-8. But
fair.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Are we talking exposure? Because ain't nobody knows that Pitt
played in the Peach Bowl last year. Yes, you are very correct about that.
And USC, after a 4-win season, is still in the top 10 every single year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So here's what people will say about why they don't like this NIL stuff with the transfers, is that it will pull kids from these like smaller schools and like mid majors that are good, and it will make those mid major teams not good. But as a fan, I don't give a shit if mid majors suck. They have no chance of winning anything anyway.
You're not watching Maction on a Tuesday?
I mean, yes, but
not for viewing.
I'm not watching it for, you know, entertainment.
You know,
you just got Eastern Michigan plus 7.5.
I always have my directional Michigan schools.
Gotta have
hammered every week.
The chips plus 4.5.
Yes, every week.
I think of myself as a pretty liberal guy, Ski, but you got to change your lifestyle, man. Like, I do not I do not agree with your lifestyle.
Tell them to quit having some Wednesday matchin going on when it's the only sport going.
Your lifestyle does not mesh well with my belief system.
LeBron is just a kid from Akron. Ski is just a kid watching Akron.
Just watching the Zips. Go Zips.
Oh, man. That's very funny. So the big story in the USC-Utah game was, you know, the horrible Pac-12 officiating, too. And it's not like it's something we're not used to, but
is it horrible if it's constant?
If it's consistent,
if it's a constant badness, then that's just reffing. You can't say, oh, that's the worst. That's every game in the Pac-12.
That's just how it works, you guys. If you're complaining about it, it's a you problem.
Yes, exactly.
Roughing the passer call in like the second quarter was atrocious.
Brutal. And then
we got caught up in the group chat.
The next play.
We got caught up in the group chat about that end zone PI. We all think it's a bad call.
Yeah.
But a lot of everyone calls like, oh, your legs get tripped up. It's dumb. It's a bad call. But
you know, like most bad calls from the Pac-12 officials, you know, last year's Stanford game for Oregon aside,
oh, God,
don't cost teams the actual game. I think we're talking about 14 points for Utah just being handed to them by the officials, because we're talking about plays where the ball gets turned over to the other team, or a field goal attempt is taken, and whether it's made or not, whatever, it's the, if it is made, it's the difference between 7 points and 3 points. What's the fucking final score? You know? So
no, like in fairness, in the fourth quarter, I think it was when USC was throwing out of their end zone, a Utah guy was like thrown down by the lineman.
God.
And they grabbed his throat and they started waterboarding him as Caleb Williams was standing in there. So, I mean, I agree. The reffing was bad. It was slanted a little towards Utah, but yeah. The one, there was a USC recruiting guy, Scott Schrader, I believe. And I saw yesterday he posted something on Twitter. He was just furious about this one specific call that kept a Utah drive alive. And Jeff Schwartz was like, yeah. And it took him 11 plays to score from there. So yeah, like that one, like
prolonged drive, guys.
Let's leave that one alone.
Brock Heward, as salty as I've ever heard him before.
He was pretty salty, yeah.
He kept getting Dean Blandino on him, and he's like, Dean, like, Dean, you're with me on this, right? Like, this is crazy. And Blandino's like, well, yes, it's not the best call I've ever seen. Like, trying to protect the officials as much as he can. It's like, okay.
Man, like I said, the officials is just bad. You just got to hope your team's just not on the end of one of the really bad calls.
Like, you can overcome it. Yeah. You're in a position where you can overcome it. There's enough game left. See, that's the shitty thing about the Oregon-Stanford game last year, was it's literally the last fucking play.
Yeah. It's
like, come on, guys.
Tighten it up in the fourth quarter, second half of the fourth quarter, at least. I mean, let's get some of these correct.
It's fucking embarrassing.
But I am glad USC lost, because their schedule, like, they're waltzing to 10-1 before they, or 9-1 before they play UCLA.
They were super lucky to be undefeated going into this game. But they were.
But I will say, it was the first game I've watched where I was like, okay, Caleb Williams, get it. Got it. I get it. Like, he's shown flashes in other games. He was really good the entire game.
Savvy stuff.
Just really good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's gone next year, right? Like, he's probably maybe top three QB getting taken.
Is he sophomore?
He's a true sophomore.
Yeah. I don't think he can.
He's coming back next year.
He is a true sophomore.
Because it just shows how, like, time is warped.
Yeah, it's
but, like, this time last year, he replaced Spencer Rattler in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's
who was the preseason Heisman favorite by, like, a long shot going into last year.
By the way, one of those should have been USC losses was to what should be 6-1 Oregon State. Because Oregon State's 5-2 should
USC
have
won. 6-1 after that Stanford game.
I'm just saying, should have beat USC. Should they not?
If a Stanford DB knows how to defend a pass, they lose that game.
I'm just saying.
No. I'm not giving you that Stanford one. That pass, Gold Branson can throw that 100 times. That's the one time he's completing that.
So it's like even trade Stanford in the USC games.
But they should have beat USC.
For the Beavs. Just don't throw four picks. Yeah. You know what they have now? A quarterback who won't throw four picks. That's enough.
He may not throw for 4 yards.
But he doesn't throw four picks.
He's not going to throw four picks.
Yeah, he's maxing out at 100 passing yards a game. But you don't need anything more.
I did not see how far did USC fall?
They're
middle
top
teens?
15 still. Yeah. 13th or something.
They're
12. Still. I think they might be 12.
12 even?
Yeah. They're good. They're better than I thought they would be. Their defense is still a thing where it's very gettable. But USC's better cohesively than I thought it would. Than I thought they would be. And Travis Dye, I watch him play at SC, and I'm not. He's not like a Heisman guy. He's not an NFL guy. It's
they
not
use
what
they use him differently. That's for sure.
He is. He would be so much better in this Oregon offense than he was in the Mario. Because they just
one?
Put him in space. They just. They're not asking him to run by the center's asshole right up the middle and take on a backer every time.
He's a slot receiver for Oregon. You know, like he catches screens. He runs deep up the seam. He like does like slant patterns. Every once in a while, they'll put him in motion, put him in the backfield. He's so versatile, man.
Are the Ducks much better with him, though, this year?
I think he would start. It would be him and then Bucky. You know, starting doesn't really matter. They would split carries.
He takes all of Whittington's carries.
Whittington is probably not really a thing if he's.
He is a bigger factor at USC than he would be at Oregon.
I definitely agree because
they can't fault the transfer for him.
No, because his backup is Austin Jones, who transferred from Stanford, who never did a damn thing at Stanford. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What was the timeline for Dye transferring and Bucky transferring? Because I feel like I remember Bucky transferring first.
I think Bucky transferred in first. Dye was kind of a February transfer.
Yeah.
Where it was like, spring practices start in a couple of weeks. You know.
Bucky had to have known that Dye might be gone, though.
Maybe.
You know, you're going to transfer out of a place as a freshman, you're getting a lot of work to it.
Well, like all of Minnesota's running backs transferred away. So he wasn't the only one. It was basically the entire running back room because they changed coaches. And so he was like, you know what? What's a good opportunity? I know this system. Like, I know the running backs coach. I'm going to go to Oregon and, you know, work with a guy I know. And I know I'm really good because I just had a really good season. And so we'll see what happens. If Travis Dye is still there, he's got one more year. You know, there's no way I'm not going to get carries because I just did the exact same scenario at Minnesota and had really good success. And so I might as well go there. I'll probably get, you know, if worst case scenario is I'll get 400, 500 yards and, you know, be his backup. And then
so. Travis Dye transferred to USC.
Although Cardwell was here too, so
January 21st.
Okay.
Bucky Irving transferred to Oregon March 1st.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So Dye was gone already.
Yeah, I thought the timeline was closer. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were reversed. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
enough. Now that makes sense.
Now that makes sense for
Bucky.
Yeah, there's
now
your
Bucky
open
makes
door.
Way more sense. Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit, he's good.
Really, Whittington, too. I guess he would have. He was after Bucky too, wasn't he?
Now Whittington was the running backs coach thing, right? Because
I think Whittington was probably before Bucky.
The Western
kind of came with
the directional Kentucky school.
I guess I could look that up.
Yeah, sounds like too much work. Hey, you know who's 7-0? You know who's 7-0 right now? The guy who should be Oregon's head coach. You know who?
What, TCU's coach?
Lane Kiffin, motherfuckers.
No.
7-0 Ole Miss.
Noah Whittington, March 16th.
March was a good month for Oregon running back transfers. That is the window, so whatever. Do you see Bo Nix giving Chick-fil-A out?
I did. That was pretty cool.
That's a pretty
that's
boss
a baller move.
That's a boss move, dude. I don't know.
That is.
Is there a Chick-fil-A in Oregon?
Yes. They're all in the Portland area.
The Portland area, right? So
maybe one in Salem, but
yeah. He had to pay somebody to drive a Chick-fil-A truck down here. And so I would assume it's like one of those like mobile ones where you can actually cook the food in it. But
yes, it was. Yeah.
Still, you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
You're treating your teammates to some Chick-fil-A. That's cool. I've never had Chick-fil-A.
No? Oh, never. Dude. It's good.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll just put their hatred of the gays aside and have a nice chicken sandwich.
When you take a bite into that pickle brined fried chicken sandwich, you will put their hatred of the gays aside. You'll feel bad, afterwards. But in that moment, you're like, you want to know what? Yeah. Fry them just like fry chicken.
Give me some of them. Give me some of them crisp cut fries. I don't even know what kind of fries they have.
Well, you should be luck. I thought it was like at least a year ago they were talking about putting the Chick-fil-A in a gateway.
Yes.
They were.
Still, apparently that's still a thing.
Still in the works.
Still in the works.
Plans are in the works. It was that and an In-N-Out at the same time. Yeah. And I was like, that's not going to happen.
I was out there picketing it because they're trying to get rid of the OTB out there at Elmer's.
Oh, God.
Couldn't let that fly.
Is that still a thing? Elmer's isn't there anymore.
The Tracksters is still there.
Tracksters is still there? No way.
Jesus.
The D-gens need a place to fucking lay their head.
Oh my God.
You know Ski's a D-gen when he's talking about Tracksters, for God's sake.
I cannot believe Tracksters is still a thing.
I haven't been there for a while, but it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe the coolest place in town.
Well, let's not go too far. I know. Is this
pretty? God, pretty awesome.
It, like you and Gummy bought like greyhounds or something. Was that
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. I did own some greyhounds at one point. They raced down. They raced in Florida.
They raced in Florida. How'd they do? Did you ever win?
One was pretty decent.
Are they still alive?
Oh no way! I don't think those things live
very
long.
Stud them out. Did you charge him?
No, they're not. They weren't that good. Stud out.
How do you do that? So you invested in some greyhounds? Is that what I'm hearing?
In a litter of greyhounds. Yeah.
Down
so
at
you don't know what.
Down at Miramar.
Yeah.
It's the best story I've ever heard. How did that work?
I think they raced out of Tampa.
Did you fly over?
It had to be St. Pete. They were in St. Pete.
Did you fly over?
Definitely
there?
Did not. You're like, no, I did not make.
You see like a litter of puppies, and you're like stretching out the back legs. Like, oh, this looks like a good one.
You actually buy them before they're born.
Wow.
Because they don't want you to like do that. Going in, you're like, oh, all right, this is a good litter here. I'll buy them.
Good litter.
This is the most incredible racket I've ever heard in my life.
Which is a good thing because if you're examining the litter of greyhounds, that's kind of like the slave trade. Like,
yeah,
we don't really need anyone to be doing that anymore.
No.
Except for the NFL and NBA. Then they can do that. They spread their arms and put them in underwear and tell them to run fast.
Yep.
I watched many a bootleg feeds of greyhound racing from Florida.
I totally forgot about that till just.
Here's the catch though. If I wanted to, I could have adopted the dogs when they were done racing.
Why didn't you?
Yeah.
No, you don't want. You don't.
I hate greyhounds.
They're the worst. They're awful.
You literally have to like walk them all day every day. They can't not be walking at every given.
They say if you give them like 30 minutes of good exercise, then they'll just sleep all day.
Called bullshit on
but
that.
That's
you don't have 30
what,
minutes
that's
to
what
give.
I don't. I just don't like greyhounds in general.
I don't either. I think they're
ugly dogs.
Yeah, there's them and whippets need to just stop being bred
and really easily injured too. By the way, like
very
greyhound,
brittle.
Very brittle. I've seen like I live in a neighborhood and there's somebody who I think they own like two. I don't know if they're rescue greyhounds. I haven't asked any questions about it, but there's like injured legs all the time. Like they just always hurt.
They're like the D'Anthony Thomas of dogs.
Thank you.
There's always like
popping. D'Anthony didn't get hurt that much, did he? I was trying to think of like a
for the Chiefs he did. And he quit on the Ducks his senior year because he hurt his ankle.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very hot take. I'm in.
Okay, so he's they're the Anthony Davis of dogs.
Yes.
Yes.
By the way, the Lakers was down by like 20, and now they're tied.
Okay, basketball. Blazers.
Don't care. I don't care. I don't want to talk about the Blazers.
Opening win over the Kings.
Don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
They are a lock for the Natty. They're going to the Final Four.
No.
Super Bowl champions.
Don't care.
They're going to be a one seed.
I'm not uttering another word about the Blazers. Unless Dame scores like 50 plus in a game, I will not talk about the Blazers until their 15th game.
Okay. I was ready with all of the best hot takes, by the way. Okay, so I
hope Dame tears an ab muscle They trade him for Russell Westbrook. We tank for Victor Wembanyama.
So
I don't care about Jeremy Grant. I don't care about GP2.
So don't say that Dame is washed and it's Simon's team. Don't say
I will
that.
Say Twitter was wondering if Dame was washed. And like, he looks slow.
No, but we're not going to talk about that.
No, tonight we will.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
For the next 14 games, I will not.
Okay.
But I will say, like blue checks were like, what? Dame doesn't look any better than he did in the Olympics in Japan 18 months ago.
He looked injured, tired, bored. But we're not talking about that.
We're not. We're not. No, we're not going to talk about it.
We're not.
In 14 games, we will start you trade Dame.
And Shaedon Sharpe. Yeah, he hit a couple threes. We're not going to talk about that.
So we're waiting. We're waiting a few weeks until, okay, until we're going to, we're definitely only going to talk about Dame getting traded. That's the only Blazer talk you'll get from us. Okay. All right.
I would like to talk about how bad Nurk is, because that's always fun.
Oh, Nurk is a bum. Fuck that guy.
Okay, so we will talk about Nurk being a bum, but nothing else.
Yes.
I did enjoy the shirt he wore onto the charter plane to Sacramento. It was the Pray for the Bear shirt. Do you guys get the reference? I think it was on the breakfast. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on this. You know the Breakfast Club radio show?
Like the New York?
Yes. I believe it was Mystical like years ago. I think he's in like legal trouble now, but whatever.
Oh, very much so.
Mystical's
an absolute scumbag, by the
way. Hey, yeah. Have you ever seen me deep in the forest fight with a bear? Pray for the bear. And Nurk was wearing a pray for the bear. It's good. It was Mystical's a scumbag, but it was good. Yeah. You know, I didn't do it justice, but it was like, pray for the bear.
Topical shirt.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Shaedon Sharpe thing saying, do you see me fighting a bear, pour honey on me so I could keep working the bear or something like that?
Fighting a bear.
Yeah. He kind of ripped it off from
it. Was Mystical. It? Was he after?
Yeah. The Mystical thing is like 5+ years old. Yeah. But the Shaedon Sharpe line is great too. Like, pour honey on me. Yeah. It's great.
I mean, fairly topical with the recent bear attacks hitting the feed here.
So we've all seen the one where the guy's on top of the mountain, right? And he's like, "Oh, bear! Ah, bear!"
I've seen no bear attacks. I might need to like look those up.
You're gonna have to look this up. This guy's on top of a mountain. He's got leverage because he's up, and he's punching a bear and just screaming guttural screams. But I saw today, Like fairly recently, like two college bro wrestlers.
Yeah. I think
fought
a
grizzly.
Ago.
And the guy's head was in his mouth. The grizzly's mouth. And they still defeated the grizzly with their hands.
Define defeated.
So
they didn't die.
They got away.
That's a win.
His head was in a grizzly bear's mouth and he didn't die.
Well, isn't that what you do? They teach you to like get big, right?
But it was in his head. He said he could hear his bones crunching.
That's not good. That's not good.
I'm pretty sure there's no, nothing to do against a grizzly. It's if they want to kill you or not.
Pretty much.
But the story was there. It was like a wrestling group running in the woods. One guy gets attacked. The bear bites his arm and like breaks his arm. So his buddy says, "Hey, I'm going to save my friend," and like starts grappling the bear. And that's the dude that got like his head munched on, and
but he saved his friend. I would have let my friends die. Sorry, guys. Like, there's nothing I can do. It's a fucking bear.
You go hand to hand combat with a giant grizzly.
Not a grizzly. I might box a black bear to save a friend.
You
or
go
myself.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, I'm out.
I'm spin kicking that bear.
Grizzly.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'm not doing it.
I think black bears are the ones that you can fight.
Yes, that's the one guy on the mountain.
I think grizzlies and brown bears, I think it's you have no chance, whatever you do.
Holy shit. The big news that just went across the timeline is that the 49ers are trading for Christian McCaffrey. So this has been rumored the last like week or so, basically since the 49ers played McCaffrey and he scored a touchdown on them, that the Niners were one of like the four teams who were interested in like looking into trading for him, actively asking about it. Carolina was like, hey, we want nothing less than a first round pick for him. Probably a couple of them. And the Niners are like, well,
minimum.
We just traded all of our first round picks for Trey Lance, so that's not going to happen. And basically everybody was saying that's way too high of an asking price. You want to know why? Because he's injured all the time. You know what? You know what the 49ers running backs are? Injured all the time. Elijah Mitchell has like a torn MCL. Like he's out half the season. Jeff Wilson's been injured. Like they had to sign Tevin Coleman off the practice squad. What, like, Christian McCaffrey's fantastic. Like when he is healthy, he's arguably the best running back in the NFL. But he's not healthy. Ugh.
He's healthy right now. Currently healthy.
Yeah. Okay. That's, you know,
he's healthy.
You know what? Fair. That's a legitimate weapon. He's really, really good. If Kyle Shanahan can figure out a way to get him the ball, like, and get him in space to make plays, I'm into it. The Niners offense now has McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk is very good. So those are four legitimate good weapons.
Kittle's a blocking tight end.
If they have somebody who can get them the ball in space. So Jimmy, just don't fuck up, and the Niners offense should be better than they have been. As a Niner fan, I like it. I like that they're trying. I like that they're making moves to actively get better. But we'll see. We'll see if he can actually stay on the field, man. Like,
we'll see what they actually gave for him too. I mean, I'm interested to see what they traded for him.
Shanahan gonna run him into the ground with like 20 carries a game and like kick his ass like he does the other running backs? I don't know, man. We'll see.
Deebo must be happy. That might cut down some of his rushing.
He's not going to play running back anymore. Totally. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't know what's up. This literally just happened, by the way. So I'm sort of still processing it. It's, I really hope he can stay healthy and, you know, be good.
When he's healthy, he's a top three running back.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the Niners just traded for a top three running back.
Yes. I remember 2019 as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Such a long time since he's been good.
When was the last time the Niners had a good running back, though? Not a system running back that just gets 1,000 yards. What was the last actually good San Francisco running back?
I mean, Frank Gore. Depends on how you feel about Frank Gore.
Yeah, but that was, you know, 6 years, you know, 7 years ago, Gore? 8 years? Because he had a lot of years at the end where he was kind of, he was over the hill for about the last 5 years of his career.
And, you know, like Raheem Mostert's not a good running back. So, when, yeah, I hear you.
Ricky Waters?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Frank Gore. For a very long time, he was a really good running back for them. But before that, yeah, Ricky Waters. And by the way, he wasn't with them very long either. He was only the Niner for like 3 years, I think. Like his rookie contract ended and he left and went to the Eagles. And so, like, you know.
The Eagles. Forgot about that.
Yeah, Eagles, and then finished his career with the Seahawks like 2 years later. Yeah. Like, flamed out after leaving the 49ers.
It was a now different time. It was a different time.
That's what's supposed to happen.
He played like
NFL
7 years on AstroTurf.
Yeah. No, I get it. No.
But was that not the career arc of a running back in the 90s? Four to five good years with the team. You jump to another team. You probably get another two or three productive years. And then you finish off 2 years in for a terrible team. That's the arc.
That's the Melvin Gordon arc.
Yeah. We got to. That's exactly what it is right now.
I love how Melvin Gordon is calling a coach's meeting to talk about carries. Dude, you haven't been good since the Chargers were in San Diego. Like, what are we talking about?
Was he, did he sit out an entire year?
I don't know.
I thought he with the Chargers, he might have sat out maybe half a season trying to get a new contract.
Those Carson years for the Chargers are kind of a blur.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Chargers, woof!
Hang on, real quick. I'm looking through my Niners buddies chat to see like their reaction. And essentially, it's my reaction. It's like, well, they don't have anything to trade for it. So what did they do? One of them says it's a whole bunch of conditional seventh round picks. My buddy, who's a Broncos fan, offered Russell Wilson if we'd like him.
That's Jesse, right?
Yeah, it's Jesse.
Ah, I knew it.
I think Shanahan could make him work, you guys. You should try him out.
Hey, if it's conditional seventh round, why not?
Explain NFL trades to me.
Oh, I get that.
A superstar goes for like an eighth rounder.
I got the trade here, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. Ian Rappaport saying the Niners get McCaffrey, Panthers get a second round pick this year, a third round pick this year, a fourth round pick this year, and a fifth rounder next year. That's
all
the
guys aren't drafting.
It's all of them.
Yeah, so you guys aren't drafting the next 2 years.
The Niners are not drafting this year. That's unbelievable. Yes. It's unbelievable. As good as the Niners have built their team on the draft, by the way. Like, the Dolphins are like, fuck them picks. Like, you know, whatever. Like teams are
the Rams. Fuck
the
them
Rams
picks.
Are like, fuck them picks. The Niners built their roster on like middle round draft picks. Like George Kittle was a fifth round pick. Elijah Mitchell was like the sixth round. Debo was like the third round. Hufanga was like a fifth round pick, and he's playing like an all pro right now. Like that's how the Niners built their roster. That's why Adam Peters is going to be a GM like next year for somebody, is because he's really good at that. And now they're just getting rid of draft picks. It's the biggest shift in strategy I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, 2, 3s, and 4s, those are value picks.
They are.
But this trade this last week that the Panthers made for Robbie Anderson, they got a seventh rounder next year.
I know.
I mean, Robbie Anderson, not blowing up the world with his skills, but he's an NFL receiver going for, what are you grabbing seventh round? Like a third string tackle, maybe? Long snapper?
Brock Purdy.
I mean,
that's who the Niners
got. That's what you get. Yeah, exactly.
October, baby.
Brock yeah. Purdy's currently their backup quarterback, by the way. Anything happens to Jimmy Garoppolo, which is probably going to happen.
Fiesta Bowl champion. Yeah, if you don't remember.
I think we all remember. Yeah. Sorry, you were going to talk about the Chargers.
Oh, my God. Can we just, we don't need to spend more than 2 minutes on it. That Broncos-Chargers game sucked, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everyone said it. Every sucked. Broncos game sucks.
Yes.
And I found myself in an internet-like Uh-oh. Web.
Wait, let me stop you real quick, King. Looks like Anthony Davis got hurt again.
Yay!
Walk into the locker room.
Well, it's tied 65-65.
So he made it to the second game this season.
Yeah, game two. Street clothes. Way to go, AD.
Whoever had out in the first week of the season, you win. Cash in your check.
But so that game sucked, and I found I just threw out a simple tweet. I was like, Justin Herbert's good. I think the Chargers are still going to win. You know, this is like the middle end of the third quarter. Herbert's good. Chargers are going to win. But his hand cannon throws and rollouts are what he's best at. He doesn't do off-schedule plays. And their line and receivers are so beat up, he's got to do off-schedule plays. He's bad. And I know I'm overstating it a little bit because no shit, like Cooper Rush is an NFL quarterback. That guy is bad. But he's not very good when things break down. And I know his ribs hurt still. I get it.
His ball does not look the same currently
but
with his
like
ribs.
When everything is perfect, snap, line, pocket, he looks top three quarterback in the league. Like, he looks fucking amazing. But when things break down, he's not very good. Am I wrong? Because people paint me as a hater just because I'm a Chiefs fan. But he didn't look good. He doesn't look good. He has 10 touchdown passes this year. Like, what are we doing?
He is injured, but also he has looked exceedingly average this year. He really.
Okay.
He might be missing Keenan Allen too. You know,
of
like,
of course he is.
It is what it is.
He has one receiver. That's Mike Williams. He got blanketed by Surtain So he was stuck throwing to, was it Josh Palmer?
Mike Williams is good at one thing, and that's like the deep jump ball.
Running straight.
Keenan Allen Keenan Allen does everything else.
Keenan Allen's great, yes. Yeah. And Herbert will be better when Keenan Allen comes back.
And he's healthy, yeah.
But, like, and I know I've beat this to death, so we don't need to do it. But Charger fans come at me all the time with Mahomes shit. And I'm like, Mahomes isn't perfect, but he doesn't have good receivers either.
He's about to kick the shit out of my team.
And he has 17 touchdown passes this year. Like, I mean, it's just...
At least Mahomes has at least one elite.
It's Kelsey, yes. That, I got it. But
hey, how about Juju last week? I forgot he was on the team for 5 weeks.
No, that's the thing is, when he made a catch, they were like, oh, the Chiefs actually like have more yak yards this year through 5 games than they did last year. And it's like, I guess. But last year they were throwing to a guy who was wide open 70 yards down the field and just ran it 9 yards later. It's a little bit different. It's just like watching the Chiefs offense isn't very fun this year.
They're not as exciting right now.
No. And
that's
like,
for sure.
And I didn't think they would be, but man.
But that's fine. You're still winning.
Scantling, Sky Moore. Could you get separation for anyone? I didn't expect Juju to. That's not his thing.
Yeah.
But my God. Guys, get some separation. At least.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure they're struggling because Reed's big thing is having the like three different tier receivers. You got the guy deep, middle, and short.
Yes.
And the problem is all the guys right now are all middle guys. You don't have that deep threat that pulls everyone to open up the middle.
So I completely think the Bills are the best team in the NFL. Did going into last week, do now. I was Chiefs lost in the last minute. Okay, whatever. If the Chiefs sign OBJ, that doesn't put them over the top. That's not what I'm saying. But they're going to go to Buffalo and play them in the AFC Championship. If they sign a healthy OBJ, do they have a chance to win that game?
Yeah, especially because Bills are, I don't know how hurt these guys are for them if they're coming back. But their defense kind of got decimated a little bit. Their one injury on offensive way of Diggs or Davis to where they're kind of like the Chiefs.
God, Davis pisses me off.
Wait, you miss the like 6'4" fast guy.
Just run straight. It just pisses me off. Yeah. Because throughout, you know, the Mahomes, you know, years, there's never been, you know, that receiver who's just like, I'm 6'5" and I'm fast.
Right. And the crazy thing is you're seeing a lot of them popping up now, like all of them now. Jefferson's pretty big. Fucking what's his name? But Chase, I mean, he's not small, but these guys are fast. My team has a white guy receiver. That's their best guy.
Are you calling?
So,
who?
I only learned about him because of fantasy.
Alec.
Football. Yeah, I had no idea who that person is.
He was their second round pick, I believe.
Sounds like a thing.
I believe
he's white. What college did he go to, Ski?
I believe he went to Cincinnati, didn't he?
Oh, okay. All right. I was gonna guess BYU, but I'm racist, so whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy racist.
I would have said Stanford.
Should we do lines?
Just a sec. So I had a listener call in and tell me, not call in.
Call in.
Call in. By the way, 855-212-8719. I had a caller let me know that they were disappointed that I didn't do the TSB FFL last week.
No. We're not doing it. We're not doing it.
We're doing it.
You already killed one segment with some fucking music. God damn it.
Oh, baby. It's week 7 in the TSB FFL. You know what that means. Hey, Alex.
That's me. You mean Garoppolo's now? Is that who you mean?
Yes. Do you remember what Pop Warner used to say about week 6 in fantasy football?
What did Pop Warner used to say?
Pop Warner used to say, you can't lose your fantasy football league in week 6.
Oh, that old salty dog. He always knew
what used to say that. He used to say that all the time. Well, this week, oh boy, 4-2, 4-2. It's a battle of the Twin Towers on Sunday. Me atop the league at 4-2 with 1,010.94 points. Kind of pedantic on the 94 points. Versus a fellow 4-2er, borderline erotic. Losers be losing, winners be lauding. The best roster, Charles, Water, the Padres. The season is over. Braga, trade me OBJ.
Did you just say winners bin Laden?
Yeah, it was a Twin Towers joke.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you did say that. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yes.
Just wanted to make sure.
Alex,
yo.
Trade me OBJ.
No, he's mine. I just picked him up.
OBJ.
I'm smarter than you.
A future chief.
I'm better than you at this.
Hey, Tua's famous scrambled eggs where you can cuss on draft night. 1-5. Ouch. Go Cougs. Feels like a good week to reach 5-2. And that is your TSBFFL update.
We left off that the dominating Dudikoffs go up against Garoppolis now this week.
We don't care about 2-4 teams.
3-3 teams.
3-3. Oh, baby. The fighting Dudikoffs. The height of mediocrity.
Hey. 3-3 gets you in the playoffs, baby.
Hey, Braga. Trade me OBJ.
Middle of the road.
I'll give you Lynn Elliott.
Give me what?
Lynn Elliott.
Make me an offer, you coward. All right, let's do lines.
Lines everywhere. Lines. Skis reading lines. I have line paper in front of my face.
Lines.
All right. So we ran into a small snafu. Old Mike Booble, who usually updates our line stats for the season. He got banned for at least like a week on Twitter.
Banned on Twitter. Mike Booble.
But he's back. He's back today. We're in the front five, so looking like Jordan.
Was it because he suggested our movie last week? Is that why?
I think he may have told Christine Drazen to.
Drazen.
So he suggested we watch Kingpin. Twitter didn't like it. You know what? Come at me, Jack. That's the guy for Twitter, right?
Jack. For a while.
Come at me, Jack.
Might be Elon soon.
I got my boy Booble's back. Come at me. He can suggest any movie he wants, dickhead.
So I got a little correction for old Booble's lines here. He tried to screw King out of a point.
Whoa.
I could have left it, and just King would have never known.
I would have never known.
But, no, I mean, we don't pay attention to it at all anyways.
I don't do math anyway.
Yeah, you could be making up every single number as far as I'm concerned.
I have honor in lines. So I gave King his point.
I appreciate you saying that. I have no way to verify it, though. So it's fine.
So, Braga, you had the best week.
Okay.
You went 5-2 and got your star pick for 6 points.
You know what I like is that we have you in charge of the points, and you are clearly very trustworthy, and you're doing a great job, Ski. You're doing a great job.
Yes, my job is to critique Booble's math.
Okay. No,
that's my job.
No, and I feel you're doing a fantastic job as our picks leader.
So you had 6 points. I were 4-3, so I had 4 points. King, you were 2-5. Booble,
I was
to say
coming
you're one
back
and six.
From a wedding. I was drunk. Yeah, I had champagne.
You're 2-5.
I don't know.
So
I was dead at the time.
Season totals. King and I now tied.
Oh.
Braga, you cut that distance down. You're only 3 back now.
Let's go.
So we got a ball game now.
Shit, we're the Mets in August, and he's the Braves.
Yeah. So, first game, we got ASU going to Stanford.
Stanford,
a 2.5-point favorite, coming off that big win that me and Braga both picked over Notre Dame.
Yeah. Notre Dame's bad.
I told you they lost to Marshall. I said they lost to Marshall. Marshall's
bad. Do you survive? Do you survive as a first year head coach at Notre Dame, losing to Marshall and that Stanford team?
Yes, because Marcus Freeman is beautiful.
Mm. Yes. Man.
And he's a good guy.
Yeah, you look at his chin. That's a double he's got a great chin.
The double whammy.
Woof.
The dammy.
So I will take Stanford again.
Stanford!
Riding the Stanford wave after their first win in like a year and a half.
I picked Stanford way too many times this year to get off the train now.
I will pick Stanford as well because ASU is starting Emory Jones. And I have seen Emory Jones be bad at Florida. I've seen Emory Jones be bad at ASU. Emory Jones, just bad.
I am picking Arizona State.
Sparky.
The big win against the Dogs.
All right. Our second game, the biggest win of the college football season.
I was saving it for picks, by the way. I wanted to talk about it, but I was saving it for picks. Well, I know where you were going with this.
Colorado going to Reser Stadium, 24.5-point dogs to the Beavs.
Beavs. I don't see Colorado scoring more than 10.
You see Oregon State scoring more than 24?
Not really, no, but I can't do the Colorado thing.
I got Colorado with the points, for sure.
I am sticking with it. I am going Oregon State, and they are my star pick. Yeah. I'm going to say it's just the flukiest fluke week that they beat Cal. Cal is just very, very bad. They are very bad.
Boy, I'm so when I saw that Colorado lost their 0-12 dream to Cal.
I know.
I just remembered John Wilner and John Canzano really pushing the narrative that Oregon offered Justin Wilcox a really competitive contract offer this offseason. No, they didn't. It was a poison pill contract to appease Joey Harrington and his Proud Boys haircut and Achilles Smith.
And with that, we salute Ty Willingham and his winless Husky season. It still holds.
Salute. Shout out to the Dogs. You're still the only 0-12. Let's big go. Up. Woof,
big
woof.
Ups. Big ups.
Is there a Miami Dolphins? Is there a Twitter handle about the winless Huskies?
There should
be. They're popping champagne this last Saturday because there's no winless teams in the Pac-12.
A White Shoes Johnson out there who's like, yeah, this is our record.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's a bum.
All right. Speaking of Wilcox, next game, we got the Huskies going to Cal. Huskies, 1.5 favorite.
What? I see that the national media is picking Cal, and a lot of them, well, not a lot, a decent amount is picking Cal straight up. I don't think Washington's, well, I know their defense is terrible, but I can't, I got to go Washington. I don't know.
Washington on the road is a problem.
They're terrible. They're terrible.
But Cal just lost to Colorado.
This is the perfect Cal time. I'm picking Cal.
Dude, this is 100% the time Cal wins this game straight up, coming off losing to Colorado. Give me Cal.
Dude, Penix is going to throw for like 7 touchdowns. Washington, and it's my star pick. Like, you guys are crazy.
This is how
you let me back in, by the way. This is how you let me catch up. This is it.
He just got trapped big time. Biggest trap game I've ever seen. All right. Those are the only Pac-12
Amigos game. Big old trap.
Yeah.
Yup. Woo, woo, woo. Golden Bears. Justin Wilcox. Yucky.
Bad and bougie. Cooking up with a Uzi.
Berkeley.
All right. Those are the only Pac-12 games other than the Duck game. So
we're fucking old, man.
Yes. So we have two throw-in games now. The first one, let's see. Yep, is Ole Miss at LSU.
Give me LSU, the Tigers.
LSU a 2.5-point favorite.
Give me the Tigers.
Hang on, hang on. I'm going to interrupt real quick. Thursday night football nightcap, DeAndre Hopkins went out and joined the crew. Before he gets on mic, because he knows what he's doing, threw his gum on the ground. Like, spit out his gum. Just let it go. Ryan Fitzpatrick just reached back, picked up the gum off the ground, and put it in front of him on the table. What the fuck did I just see?
He doesn't like fucking littering.
Okay, that's it.
He's, Ryan he's, Fitzpatrick, okay. He's a good guy.
He's like, I'm not going to... Yeah, not on my watch.
He knows what that piece of gum's going to do to the environment. That's not going away for a long time.
Don't pollute. Guy with a big ass beard like that should hate gum, by the way. Like gum getting in beards? Like, come on, man. That was disgusting. I can't believe I just watched that.
At first, I thought you were saying he was going to put it in his mouth, but I'm glad he put it on the table.
That was going oh, that would have been. No, that would have been okay. That would have been real gangster. No. Okay, sorry. Ole Miss, LSU. LSU 2.5 points.
Yep. And I'm with King. Give me the Tigers.
I'm riding the Kiffin train, baby.
I knew you would. That's why I went with them.
Run, right, red. That's a thing, right?
Next game, we're going to another undefeated team. We got Kansas State going to TCU. TCU 3.5 points. Did you know Kansas State's ranked 17th?
Yes.
Did you know that?
They were just ranked like 11th. Yes.
They're bad.
Yeah. They're not good. TCU. Give me the horny frogs.
I am taking them as well.
Me or too. Horned. So TCU wins are 8-0. Am I correct in saying that? That's
7-0. They will be 7-0.
Okay. All right. Still, I'm not really comfortable with that. Yeah, TCU. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Last game, Duck game. Ducks 6.5-point favorites against Kings Bruins.
Ducks.
Oh, going against your Bruins.
I know. Sorry, Newport Beach.
Man.
You know what?
Sorry, Huntington Beach.
Ooh, Ski's face. Look at Ski's face.
Give me the Bruins.
Ooh. Ski. I also pick UCLA with the points. I think Oregon wins, but it's like a field goal. It's a Cam Lewis perfect on the season field goal.
I think my thing with the cover is that I think UCLA style with Charbonnet and DTR obviously is, you know, elusive, whatever. But Charbonnet last year, 15 carries for 35 yards against Oregon. Sewell, Flo, Maniacs. C-ball, hip-ball, straight-line run, guys. You throw them in coverage, side to side, they're kind of lost. I think they'll take out Charbonnet just enough to where I'm not predicting, like, you know, 17-point win, but I think Oregon does win by a touchdown.
I'm not.
Because they'll neutralize Charbonnet.
I'm not concerned about Charbonnet at all. I'm sort of with you. But you know what they can't do is stop a running quarterback at all.
Oh, and for sure.
DTR gets outside, he's going to kill him all game long.
I have no counter to that.
Yeah.
I will say the numbers are not good for UCLA. Them at Autzen, I think they've lost 8 straight, 9 straight.
Yeah, but whatever.
And I mean, yes, these are all, you know, older, you know, they go back a little way.
So we don't need to. Yeah, Cade McNown was the last, like,
the Rick Neuheisel era.
But
Bob Toledo.
Or like you said, Charbonnet, Ducks defense, I think, is 10th in the country against the run. This feels like a game where you would say, okay, DTR, he's having a pretty good season. You should air it out against his Duck team. But Chip, this is the kind of game where Chip, the big game, he's going to outthink himself, and he's like, hey, they're going to think I'm going to throw the ball a lot. I will try to pound the run, and it's not going to turn out well for him.
We'll see, man.
I
just have no faith in the Oregon linebackers whatsoever. And you know, like
the linebackers.
It's like a running quarterback, especially a veteran one. Like, just it spreads you out so much and puts your linebackers in such a tough spot. And I don't trust him to be able to like chase him down all game, contain him. I can't see it, man. I really can't. You know, I think if Oregon wins, it's going to be because Bo Nix has another huge game. The offense scores a whole bunch of points. And I think they're capable of doing that for sure. I think they will do that. I picked them to do that. But I have a hard time imagining them like stopping UCLA's offense. They're so good, man. And it's
no. Yeah. See, they Chip runs a good scheme. DTR is a problem. But why I picked them to cover is because DTR is more of a scrambler to throw,
yeah,
than to run. If that makes like he does run. Of course, if he was like a more of like a Lamar Jackson, like scramble and run straight up field, I would not pick Oregon, but
right. Like big play stuff, not so much, but what I'm thinking of more is like, if you get a team in a position where you get them, you cover them well enough to where the quarterback doesn't have anywhere to throw the ball. You don't want to give up a 7-yard run, you know? Absolutely. And that's what DTR will do is he'll escape to the outside, run out of bounds, you know, slide, whatever, get 6 or 7 yards. That kills you. Like it wears on you because your defense stays on the field. Everybody gets tired chasing him. It's not ideal. So if Oregon can like somehow contain him, I think they'll be fine. But that's going to be the challenge, man. We'll see, Tosh.
King, which game was your star pick, King?
I'll just say Ducks. I didn't really have a lean for any of them, so I'll just say Ducks. Pick up some points.
You should pick Stanford for your star pick.
Stanford.
All right, that's lines. Let's start trivia, huh? Or you got anything else? No? Okay.
Nope.
All right, let's do some UCLA trivia. Gee, I wonder who's going to be better at this. King with his
not,
Bruins.
Not loving my chances this week.
Feeling an upset is a Bruin.
Ew. Ew. Who won last week? I can't remember at all.
Ski,
okay.
Bye week win.
That's right, you won the bye. All right, some great quarterbacks have played for the Bruins throughout the years. But which one is the best? One of them is the career leader in all-purpose yards. Who is it?
Ooh. I don't think Cade really ran, so I'll go Hundley.
The answer, Ski, is Brett Hundley. Nice guess. King, UCLA hasn't always been known as the Bruins. They began as the Cubs, then were the Grizzlies, but they had to drop the name and eventually switch to the Bruins. The reason they dropped the name is another team in the Pacific Coast Conference already had it. Which school was it?
Montana.
Montana is the answer. Did you know Montana was in the Pacific Coast Conference?
I did. So was Idaho.
Yeah, craziness. By the way, Cal also used to be known as the Bruins, and they changed to the Bears for the same reason. Isn't that crazy? I did not know that until looking this up. All right, Ski. Early alumni section here. This actor is cousins with Sofia Coppola and Jason Schwartzman. His uncle, Francis Ford Coppola. I think you probably know the answer already. According to his IMDb, he has acted in 110 projects, won an Oscar, Golden Globe, SAG Award, also went to UCLA's School of Theater, Film, and Television. Who is it?
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage is the answer. Went to UCLA. I didn't know that either. I mean, I feel like the Coppola thing probably gave it away. I was trying to come up with ways to not give it away, but still have him be the answer to a trivia question. But like, fucking,
I promise you, you name
him.
Anyone in that, you would have to have it be either him or Schwartzman.
I should have just
somehow.
I should have just said Schwartzman and not mentioned the Coppola name at all. Anyway, King. So famous actors went to UCLA, lots of them. But there might not be one who played a more famous character than this one. Who is the actor who played Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise?
I know the name. God, this pisses me off.
You have time.
No, I know the name. I'm just getting, Ski's going to get it, but whatever. I know the name. I just can't remember it.
Can you throw a guess?
No.
Okay. All right, Ski, do you know?
I do not remember his first name, but I'm pretty sure his last name's England.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
John England?
I'll give you that because I was going to give you the options anyways. It's Robert England.
Robert England. God damn it.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Ski, up 3-1. So, Ski, this goes to you again. Who is UCLA's all-time winningest head coach?
Jim Mora?
you know, right, Kang?
Terry Donahue.
Terry Donahue's the answer, yeah. I didn't even need to give you the option.
Should be Jim Mora.
He wore a nice little light gold sweater.
Ooh. Very stylish.
It really was.
Who is UCLA's leader in career and single season rushing yards, King?
Oh, this is tough.
I think I know.
I'm going to say Deshaun Foster, but it's probably Skip Hicks.
Deshaun Foster.
Incorrect answer. Your option, Ski. Deshaun Foster, Jonathan Franklin, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, I
say Jonathan Franklin.
It is Jonathan Franklin. Nice work. All right, Ski. What is the name?
I think he played all 4 years. He started all four years.
He's a compiler.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the name of the trophy given to the winner of the UCLA and USC game, Ski?
This one is a very dumb and obvious one.
The Southern California Cup.
Nope. Game is, yes, played in Southern California. No, it is not a cup, King. You know this off the top of your head, right?
It's the Victory Bell, right?
It is absolutely the Victory Bell. Yes, it is. All hail the victory or something, right? The V? That's basically some bullshit. If you're if you're Mr. Bruin like King, you think that's bullshit. Okay, so the score is now 4-3. Ski with the lead. King has a chance to tie with this one. What is the name of UCLA's stadium?
Oh my God.
Is this a trick question?
Fuck out of here.
This is for you, King.
I got the trick question last time.
Yeah. This is for you, King. Here. What's the name of UCLA's stadium?
The Rose Bowl.
It is indeed the Rose Bowl. If you had fucked that up, man. Ooh. Is it Terry Donahue Stadium?
Right.
At the Rose Bowl?
I was so afraid you were going to say it was like the Rose Bowl Stadium at Vizio Way or something.
That's Vizio Stadium. Oh, that'd be the best. They will never change that. Never, ever. All right, so this goes to Ski now with a chance to win. 1-5. Chip Kelly has been a head coach in the Pac-10 and 12 for 9 seasons. How many times has he been named Coach of the Year?
Twice.
Final answer?
Final answer.
That's not the game show, but yes, twice is the answer. So Ski is the winner. It was 09 and 10. He was.
Then they just got tired of giving it to him.
Yeah, you're clearly the coach of the year.
He's like, Derrick Rose, you get the MVP, even though LeBron just went 30, 10, and 9.
LeBron's always the best player in the NBA, but he somehow doesn't get the MVP. Whatever, we get it. It's boring. Last bonus one here. UCLA has had one number one overall draft pick in the NFL. Who was it?
Jonathan Ogden?
Good guess.
It was a quarterback. No, it was a quarterback. I just can't remember his name.
You absolutely can remember his name.
No, I can't.
You absolutely
can. Oh, it's Troy Aikman. Yeah.
It was Troy Aikman, yes.
Where was Cade? Was he 3?
No, I think he went down to
did he fall?
He fell for good reason. And then the Bears were like, let's take this guy who doesn't throw a straight ball and put him in fucking Chicago. Have fun, lefty.
Throwing sliders out
salad thrower in Chicago winters.
Yes. throwing like 5 mile an hour lobs. NFL teams, yeah, don't really want that.
Very funny. Like Achilles failed because he didn't try, and he's even said that, right? Cade McNown probably never deserved to be drafted that high, but my God, throwing him into Chicago, like, that guy had to play in L.A.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miami, yeah,
no chance. You put Cade McNown on like the Bears or the or the Giants, like he's dead.
Yeah,
where do you put Joey in that though?
L.A. or Miami? That would have been perfect for Cade McNown.
Well, I mean, my Joey thing is complicated because I was never a Joey guy. I thought he would fail,
but he also had no chance in Detroit.
Absolutely, yeah. So no one does. I mean, Stafford really proved that. Like 12 years in Detroit, shit, didn't win a playoff game. First year in L.A., Super Bowl. Yeah.
So yeah, it does prove your point, but it also doesn't prove your point that
Are you trying to tell me I didn't prove my point?
Are you trying to tell
Do
me?
You mean to tell me?
Awesome. By the way, just had come across my timeline. Back to the McCaffrey trade real quick. So the Niners do have two picks in this coming draft. They have a third round pick and a fifth round pick. They're very good at those draft picks. So if they're focusing on those draft picks, I feel like they're going to be okay. But man,
where was Lance?
Lance was the like third pick overall.
Third pick, right? Yeah. So yeah. They don't get high picks because they make terrible picks.
No,
yeah.
All of their good draft picks are mid range.
Who were the QBs drafted after Lance? Was there anyone notable?
The dude from Cincinnati.
It's been Ritter.
Yeah, Ritter to Atlanta.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Like after him, that's it, right?
Okay. Yeah, I honestly don't know. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. Shall we do our top three? Oh, also McCaffrey with the team through the 2025 season. So not a rental. It's like an actual investment trade, which is crazy. Again, we'll see if he doesn't die in Shanahan's offense. We'll see.
I thought they didn't have any money to like pay players. Yeah, they're just going to take on this contract.
Jimmy G restructured his deal, so they did have money. But now they also still have to pay Nick Bosa after this season. I don't know how that's going to work. I honestly don't. Some motherfucker is going to have to restructure their deals. You know who it's not going to be? Like Debo Samuel. He just got his deal. I bet Trent Williams won't, because they already did that with him too. They paid him in a signing bonus and moved some of the money to the back end with him already. So they have like very little wiggle room. They really need to sign Bosa, because we saw what happens without Nick Bosa against Atlanta. You have Marcus Mariota playing the most perfect game a quarterback can play and being the offensive player of the week. Fuck's sake.
With like 120 yards passing.
Mari Gota.
I will give a little mea culpa for I thought Atlanta might win two games this year.
No, they should be 4-2.
They've looked way better than I thought they were going to be. Their best receiver suspended. Their best playmaker hurt. You know, they're somehow winning games still.
They did get Pitts back against the Niners, which didn't help.
Yeah, Pitts has like four receptions on the season.
Patterson's still hurt. Yeah. Yep. Entire Niners defense injured. Doesn't help. Against anybody in the NFL. Okay, let's do our top three. King, did you come up with the top three? Who came up with the list idea?
I did.
I think it was you.
Yes. What's in honor
yes.
of Chip Kelly coming into Eugene, our list is your top three Kellys.
Top three chips. Doritos. Okay.
Lays.
Top three Kellys. Who wants to start?
I guess I'll start. My number three, Kelly. Charlie Kelly from Always Sunny.
Charlie Kelly, also my number three. Good work.
My number three, Kelly Olynyk. Scrappy.
Yeah. I mean, man bun for man bun. Like, absolutely. I get it.
It's a fraternity. It's a fraternity.
Yes, it is. I'll never vote against you, Kelly. You're my boy, Kelly.
All right. My number two is Blue Jays all-timer Kelly Gruber.
Somewhere Dave Steeb is smiling. Yeah.
He's spinning in his grave, man. I think Dave. I
Gold
think Dave
Glove Steve. Winner Kelly Gruber.
I think Dave Steeb's still alive.
World Series champion Kelly Gruber.
Man, some sentences said on this podcast that I did not expect to ever hear in my life. That was one of them. Blue Jays legend. Kelly Gruber. All right, my number two. Is it my turn? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. My number two is Kelly Kapowski. Saved by the Bell. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Kelly when Kapowski. You wake up in the morning and your alarm goes off without warning, do you think you'll ever make it on time? Because I never do.
Never.
It's all right. You're saved by the Bell.
Give myself a look. Just in time to see the bus fly by.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the Bell. My number two, Kelly.
Speaking of number two.
Kelly Bratatich.
Hey!
I like that.
Yeah, that's very.
That is
very,
such an inside,
inside reference.
Such an inside reference.
I love it.
All right. My number one Kelly, the ultimate Kelly, cannot be topped Kelly, Kelly Bundy.
It's the same as mine. It's the same as Kelly mine. Bundy. God, our list is so similar. I was like, you can only say Kelly Bundy.
Yeah, you didn't have Kelly Gruber, though. That's a faulty list.
It's a faulty list. Hang on. Kelly Kapowski versus Kelly Gruber. What are we fucking talking about, Ski?
How many silver sluggers did Kapowski get, huh? How many? Zero, exactly.
I can't argue with that.
Could she hit a curveball? No.
You got a good point. How many times did Kelly Gruber support his friends when they were addicted to caffeine pills? Huh?
Probably a lot.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It's probably way worse.
Probably worse pills, too.
Way worse pills. Yeah, okay. All right. It's fair. I'm so excited.
I'm so
scared. Pills, dude. I wonder what the pitch for that was. Like, it wasn't caffeine pills. There's no fucking.
It's like it's cocaine, yes. But we 100%. Can't really say cocaine.
You can't so. Do. You can't introduce cocaine on Saved by the Bell.
And I don't think Adderall was a thing yet. So that's that's the current day thing. It would be, but
caffeine pills. That's so good. What's your one, dude?
Well, here's my thing about the number one, Kelly, is, you know, here's the thing. We started out friends. It was cool. It was all pretend. Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone. You're dedicated. You took the time. Wasn't long till I called you mine. Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone. My number one, Kelly. Kelly Clarkson.
I don't know the words to that song.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, the only time any of us ever hear that song is when we're in like a JCPenney.
Listen, she was like the most influential American Idol winner ever.
1000%.
Goated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like goated.
Without question.
Yeah.
Well, wait, didn't what's her face, the country singer chick?
Nah, whatever.
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood, she cheated because she didn't go into that. No, she wasn't a country singer in there. She was just like, I'm a
controversial.
Uh-huh. And then she was like, yeah, I slashed your car seat, whatever. No, she cheated. Have you heard a Carrie Underwood song in the last 10 years? No, you haven't.
That's proof that anybody can be a country singer if you can sing. They can turn anybody into a country star. I'm kind of with you on that. Well, if they're a female, I should say.
Yes.
You have to have a very specific man voice.
Well, I mean, Toby Keith probably falls in that thing, too.
It's got to talk about drinking beer.
I love in America. My troops and my horses.
I do love when country singers like are liberal and sing about liberal topics.
It always makes them crazy.
It always makes me laugh, man.
Yeah. Like, it's funny that Willie Nelson is like one of like the top like two or three country singers ever. And people are like, wait, he is for marijuana and gay marriage? What?
Dolly Parton too, by the way. Dolly Parton's like a liberal Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
She is very, that's gotta make right wing people go crazy, man. Dolly Parton, because she is the most likable person ever, man. She's like the sweetest person, super duper country, super duper like southern born and bred, the most southern woman you'll ever see. Where's the fucking rhinestones and shit, like, you know, Dolly Parton. She is the most left person in country by far.
And then the right wing of country music is like Big and Rich, and it's like, well, right, you did have that one song in 2004. Good for
right.
you.
Bring back American values to country music.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. All right. Thanks
Bring
for
the
listening.
Country back to fucking country music.
Even though country songs are really not very much about values, it's always about like someone cheating and.
True.
Yeah.
Good point.
Drunk driving, you know.
Yeah.
Drinking way too many alcoholic beverages.
Yeah. Cheating, drunk driving.
Possibly hitting your spouse.
Definitely murder. Oh, yeah. They sing about murder a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's on a country road, it doesn't count. If it's by a creek, it doesn't count.
Creek.
By a creek, it counts. By a creek, it does not.
Yeah. Dolly Parton says creek, by the way.
See? On the right side of history.
There's your difference. There's your difference. Okay, bye.